Turn with me, if you would, now to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And let's read verses 11 and 12. Wherefore, also, we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this is a very appropriate text to observe the Lord's table with. What a privilege it is. This table is a great privilege. It's a wonderful gift that our Lord has given to us. We observe this table in heart every time we gather together. We observe this table in message, but our Lord has given us something to tangibly remember Him. And it's a great privilege. When we observe this table, we observe it, number one, in commandment. Our Lord told us to do this. He said, as oft as you do it, do it. He gave us this, and then He commanded us. So we observe it in commandment. We observe this table in remembrance. He said, do this in remembrance of me. There's only one thing to remember concerning our salvation. Broken body, shed blood. We remember Him. This is the tangible way that involves our senses. He gave us something that involves all of the senses of our body for us to physically, in our body, remember what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ accomplished for us in His body. We remember it in the body. The purchase He made with His own body to buy our souls back. That's what this was. He bought our souls back. He redeemed us back to God. A payment had to be made, and He made the payment. He bought our souls back. So we do this in commandment. We do this in remembrance, and we do this in confession. In this, we're saying, He has united Himself to me, and He has united me to Him. That's what we're saying in this. When we partake of this table, we are united. I in Him, Him in me. And that's what verse 12 says. It says that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in Him. Him in us, us in Him. That's what we're confessing. Through His accomplishment, by His grace, by His free gift, He has broken down the middle wall of partition that was between us. There was a wall of partition keeping us from God. And He has broken it down and made us to be one. We are completely united. I'm in Him, He's in me. That's what God's people say. I'm in Him, He is in me. My hope before God is total union with Him. This is my only hope before God. Total union with Christ. Complete union with Christ. His union with my death and my union with His life. Total union with Him. Now, the Apostle Paul said that he was praying something for the Thessalonians. Three things specifically, and he names them in verse 11. And these three things declare the salvation that we're confessing. He prays for the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Spirit. Verse 11, he said, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness, and the work of faith with power." He said, "I pray God might save you start to finish." That's what he just said. I pray God might save you start to finish. That's what I pray for every person here. I pray God might save you start to finish. Well, now, He started the work and you have to finish it. No, I pray God might save you start to finish. Every step, every work. I pray your salvation includes all the fullness of the Godhead. I pray it includes all the work of the Godhead. That's what we see in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see all the work of the Godhead, all the fullness of the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Spirit. Now, what was the work of the Father? In our salvation, what did God our Father do for us? Verse 11 says, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling." He said, "I pray God would count you worthy of this calling." Now, if you have the center margin in your Bible, you see that the word "count" means vouchsafe. He said, "I pray God will vouch for you. I pray God will vouch for you. I pray God has put His name down to be the surety for you. I pray God the Father chose you." That's what He's saying. I pray God chose you. I love how the word "this" right here is in italics. It was added by the translators. And what he said was, "I pray God would count you worthy of calling. I pray God would consider you worthy of calling, worthy to be chosen." What does a man or a woman have to be worthy of being chosen? You know, God chose a people. And he said, "I pray God would consider you to be worthy of choosing." What does a man or a woman have to be to be worthy of being chosen? Who did God the Father choose to call? Go with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians 1, verse 26. "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." Who did the Father choose? He chose sinners. He chose lowly, wretched sinners. Those who deserve nothing more than to be despised. Those who are not. And that's what we are, isn't it? We're not. We're not. That's what we confess before Him. That's what we confess before everybody else. We get on television and confess we're not. We're not. We're not wise. We're foolish. We're not mighty. We're weak. We're not noble. We're base. We must decrease. Oh, I tell you, brother, I'm pretty low. Well, we need to get a little lower. We must decrease. We must decrease. That's who God the Father chose. That's what it is to be worthy of this calling. You have to be not. You have to be not. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. The world is ready to run up to the Lord crying, this is what I've done. This is what I've done. This is what I've done. God's people are trying to holler as loud as they can. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Not. Not. Our flesh does not glory in your presence. Paul said, I pray God would make you that worthy. I pray God makes you not. Because that's who the Father chose. And we confess before Him. That's what we are. Lord, that's all that we are. We're just not. Go back to 2 Thessalonians 1. Verse 11 says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness. Oh, he said, I pray God will fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness. The work of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our salvation, His work was to fulfill all the good pleasure of God's goodness. Fulfill all the good pleasure of God's grace. God the Father chose who the work would be for. And God the Son fulfilled the work. He fulfilled all the good pleasure of God's goodness. Whatever it pleased God to do, Christ fulfilled it. Whatever it pleased Him to do. What did it please God to do? What did it please Him to do? This is one of my favorite, I guess I say that about every other message, don't I? This is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. Get ready to fall in love with some Scripture. Go with me over to 1 Samuel 12. First Samuel 12, verse 20. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, you have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should you go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. He said, fear not, you've done all this wickedness. fear not, the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people." That's what it pleased Him to do. It pleased Him to make some sinners His people. How did the Lord make us His people? That was His good pleasure. How did He fulfill it? What did it take? What was He pleased to do to redeem us to Himself? Go over to Isaiah 53. It pleased the Lord to make us His people. How did it please the Lord to do it? Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It pleased God. All the fullness of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. It pleased God the Son. It pleased God to bruise Christ. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. That's what we're confessing. Thank God it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. I'm the one who deserved the bruising. But it pleased God the Father to bruise Christ for us. It goes on to say, He hath put Him to grief. He made His soul an offering for sin. Why? Why would God do that? Why would it please the Lord to make His own Son a sacrifice for sin? The reason is because verse 4 says, He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. I believe and pray one day we enter into that and appreciate it as we ought to. I pray one day in glory He causes us to truly see, this is what I did for you. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I wouldn't have done for me what He did for me. I'm not that nice. We still esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Everything we were supposed to get was upon Him. And the end of verse 5 says, with His stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's all we've done. That's all we do. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. That's such a holy thought to me. As our Lord stood there before Pilate, all of those accusations being brought against Him, and He opened not His mouth. And they spit in His face, and He opened not His mouth. And they ripped the hair out of His beard, and they opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. He was standing there as us. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. And He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He'd done no violence, neither was any deceit found in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. You know, we just sang the song, How Can It Be? How can it be? How can this be? How can this be? Here's the answer. It pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see of the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. God, seeing the travail of His own Son's soul, is satisfied. satisfied with the punishment we deserve. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That was the good pleasure of his goodness. That was the good pleasure of his goodness, that Christ would fulfill all those things for us. And he did. He did. And that's what we're confessing. He fulfilled it all. Go back with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 11 says, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and fulfill the work of faith with power." He said, "I pray God the Father chose you. I pray God the Son redeemed you. And I pray God the Spirit will effectually produce the work of faith in your heart." Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "By grace are you saved through faith." The Lord truly does a work of faith in His people. He causes them to look to Christ and believe on Christ. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." That is something that men throw around. You believe on Christ? Oh yeah, I believe on Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast your all on Christ. Everything you are, get rid of it. All your hope in the work of Christ alone. Cast it all on Him and thou shalt be saved. And that's what we're confessing in this. When we partake of this, we say, "This is my only hope before God. What plea do you have to enter into my kingdom? The broken body and the shed blood of my Savior." That's our only plea. That's our only plea. I believe Him. That's what we confess. I believe. I believe because the Father chose me to believe. I believe because the Son redeemed me to believe. And I believe because the Spirit has quickened me to believe. My salvation is of my Lord. I believe. I believe. In Him I see all the fullness of my Godhead bodily. I see the entire complete work of salvation in the broken body, in the shed blood of my Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. As we partake of this, let's remember that. Let's remember that. In this great salvation, this amazing salvation, our Lord has wrought an amazing work. And in this great salvation, His name is glorified. In this, His name is glorified. What is His name? Savior. You call His name Jesus because He is going to save His people from His sin. And that's what He did. And in this great salvation, His grace is glorified. Thank God for grace. That's the free gift. And that gift was sufficient. And in this great salvation, we are glorified. Amazingly enough, I in Him and Him in me. We are glorified in Him. He is glorified in us. He has conformed us to His image through His own suffering. And you know what God's people cry to that? To God be the glory. Great things He's done. That's what we remember in this. To God be the glory for all of His grace, all of His kindness, all of His mercy. that He's given to us. All right, Brother Stan, you come up and read for us.